Turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to look at the very last part of that chapter, 1 Kings chapter 18. But while you're turning there, I want to remind you what the story's about, the context of the verses we're going to focus in on tonight. Elijah has been a man of prayer, a prophet of God who has prayed for 3.5 years that it would not rain. And it did not rain for those 3.5 years. Well, King Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom, king of Samaria at that time. And he was angry with Elijah. And his wife, Jezebel, was certainly angry with Elijah. And they had wanted to kill him. But Elijah brought a showdown between the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and he alone is the prophet of God. And he basically said to the children of Israel, the God who answers with fire, he said, we're going to ask that the prophets of Asherah, the prophets of Baal, they offer a sacrifice upon an altar that they build to their God, and we're going to build a sacrifice to the one true God. And we're going to cry out in prayer, and the God that answers by fire, that is the God we should serve. And so Elijah let the prophets of Baal and Asherah go first. And they cried out day and night. They cried out to their God. They cut themselves with stones, as was their custom to do, as they cried out to their gods. And no God answered. And so Elijah then took an altar, and he says, the Bible tells us he rebuilt the altar of God. And he laid the sacrifice upon the altar, and he drenched the altar with water. Now, what was the most precious commodity in all the land at that moment in time? It was water. But Elijah drenched it with water until the ditches around the altar was flowing with water. And then he cried out to his God, and God answered with fire and consumed the sacrifice upon the altar. And the children of Israel cried, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. And Elijah told the children of Israel, if the Lord is God, you must serve Him. And they took the prophets of Baal and Asherah and killed them. I think at this point in time, if Ahab was not angry before, if Jezebel was not angry before, now they are angrier than ever. But you have to understand, Jezebel had influenced King Ahab to set up an altar to Baal and to Asherah right in the holy temple, right in the place where only God was to be worshipped. Of course, God didn't want the people to worship other gods anywhere in the land. But can you imagine right there, in the very temple of God, they had set up Baal and Asherah worship. And so God answered with fire. And because he answered with fire, and because the people had chosen God over the gods of Baal and Asherah, the gods of Ahab and Jezebel, Abraham decides to now he's going to pray for it to rain. The people seem to have learned their lesson. They've repented. They've returned. They've renewed their commitment to God. And so now Elijah's going to pray for it to rain. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 41. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, that's Mount Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And the servant went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He said, go back 7 times. And it came about at the 7th time that the servant said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab robe went to Jezreel, but the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and outran Ahab to Jezreel. What we see here is that God has had a mighty victory over the god of Baal and Asherah. We see the people at this stage of revival where they have drifted away from God, and now God has called them back to repentance and restoration. They've renewed their commitment to God. And so now God is going to send them rain. And I believe it's a symbol of God's blessing once again coming upon the nation of Israel after they had rebelled against God and been away from Him for many, many years. And in the midst of that, God's man prays. And it hasn't been that long ago that we looked at the book of James, and the book of James talks about Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed for 3.5 years that it did not rain, and it did not rain, except at his word. Now, the reason it did not rain is because he was connected to God in his relationship with God. He was walking according to the will of God, and he asked for the very thing that God wanted to give or not give in this case. And I want to suggest to you, Elijah was a man of prayer. Elijah was a man of prayer. And the principles he used in praying, we should use as well. Through his prayers, revival was brought to a nation. Renewal, their commitment to Christ, was brought to an entire nation. And I believe we would serve God well if we could learn to pray as Elijah prayed. Remember, he was no special man. He was an ordinary man doing ordinary tasks in extraordinary ways because he served a supernatural God. Well, what can we learn about the principles of prayer I want to talk about tonight? When we pray, we need to pray with faith. We need to pray with faith. Verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy shower, a heavy rain." Elijah said that at 41. He hasn't even started praying yet. He's not even seeing a cloud in the sky. He's gone out and all he sees is sunshine. There's not even a cloud on the horizon. But he said to Ahab, "Get in your chariot and get to Jezreel. Because if you don't, it's going to come such a gully washer, you're going to bog down in the mud," is basically what he told him. He says, "You need to get up and go." Now, how could he say that? Because he was a man of faith. He knew what he was going to pray for, and he already knew God was going to answer. He believed God. He had faith that God was going to give him exactly what he was asking for. He said, "There's not only going to become a little sprinkle," but he said, "It's going to come an abundant shower, a heavy shower." Now, we call a shower just a sort of a slight drizzle, don't we? Something that comes, but this says it was a heavy shower, a heavy downpour. It was a heavy rain, and that's exactly what Elijah was expecting. We need to have faith to know that God wants to bless us, that He will respond to us. The Bible tells us if we have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, "Be ye removed and cast in the sea," and it would be done. But notice our faith is not in our ability to pray. It's not even our faith in ourselves, but it's our faith is in God, who is big enough to do everything that we ever ask for. Our faith is in God. You don't have to have a lot of faith in a little God. You have to have a little faith in a big God. And Elijah had faith that God was going to send the rain. Nothing is impossible when we believe. But the object of our faith is the God that we cry out to, the God that we speak to in prayer. We used to use an illustration in sharing about what faith is when we go out and share faith in evangelism training. And one of the illustrations we use is what we call a chair illustration or a pew illustration. Most of you came in tonight without thinking. You sit down in that pew, just without thinking. And the reason you sit down in that pew is you had total faith that pew was going to hold you up. Just imagine that you didn't know it, but there was a whole bunch of termites that had gotten loose in church over the last 2 weeks. And you didn't know it, but they have been eating away at your pew. And you sit down in that pew, and those damage the termites had done, it no longer held you up, and down you went. Next time you came in to church, before you sat in the pew, what would you do? You would look under the pew, you'd look around the pew, you would test it out a little bit. But the reason you sit down in that pew is because you've been sitting in the same place for years and years and years and years, and it's never let you down yet. You've never fallen through yet, and so you just put all your weight on that pew because you have faith in that pew. Most of us have experienced when we were younger pranks where we sit down in a chair and one of our friends yanked the chair out from under us. There's nothing wrong with the chair. There was an awful lot wrong with our friends. And down we went. But God never yanks a chair out from under us. We can trust Him. And the reason I know we can trust Him, because He's always been faithful. He's never let us down. Just like that pew never lets you down. He will never let you down. There may come a day when that pew will crack and you'll fall through. But there will never come a time when God will crack and He will let you down. He will never fail you. We can trust Him. We need to believe in Him. And when we pray, we need to know that He hears us. 1 John 5 says that we know this, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we pray according to His will, the Bible tells us according to John 5, 1 John 5:14, that we have the very petitions we have desired of Him. We need to have faith in what He wants to do. But not only do we need to have faith as we pray, we need to have humility as we pray. Notice how Elijah prayed. The Bible says in verse 42, Ahab went up to eat and drink, but Elijah went up to the Mount of Carmel, top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He humbled himself before God. He put his face into the dirt and began to cry out to God. The Bible says if we will humble ourselves before God, He will lift us up. He will exalt us up. He will not fail us nor forsake us. But we need to humble ourselves before Him. We need to come to Him with humility. We are His instruments to be used for His glory, for His honor. It's easy to be proud. Elijah had every reason in the world to be proud. For 3.5 years, he prayed for it not to rain. He could have patted himself on the back and say, "Oh man, what a good man am I. What a great prophet I am." Who's ever been able to get God to listen to them for 3.5 years the way that I have? But he didn't do that. Because he knew he was simply an instrument of God carrying out God's plan for the nation of Israel so that they would respond in heartfelt and sincere revival and repentance. He knew he was simply an instrument of God. And so he bowed in humility before God, put his face into the dirt, and said, "God, hear my prayer." One of my favorite preachers used to say this, "Please don't tell me how great a preacher I am, but talk to me about how great a God I have. Don't talk to me about how great a preacher I am. Talk to me about how great a God I have." I think that would have mirrored Elijah's attitude as he put his face before God. You want to see an attitude of humility? Look at the context of the parable Jesus gave us in the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood in the center of the temple and cried out to God, "I thank you that I'm not like this tax collector over here in the corner. Oh, what a good man I am. I go to church. I give my tithes and my offerings. I pray and fast. Oh, what a good person I am. How righteous I am." The Bible says the tax collector over in the corner all by himself could not even lift his eyes towards heaven but bowed his head towards the floor and he cried out to God in his heart and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible says, Jesus says, that day the tax collector went away right with God, and the Pharisee went away not right because of their attitude. If we want God to hear our prayers, we must come to Him with humility. God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe us anything. If He owes us something, it's no longer grace. He wants to give us good things, but my friends, it's not because He owes us. It's because He loves us that He gives us good things. We need to come to Him with humility. There's a third. When we pray, we should pray patiently. We should pray patiently. Elijah did that. In verse 43, he said to his servant, "Go look towards the sea." And the servant went up and looked towards the sea. He said, "I don't see anything." And Elijah said, "Well, I'm just going to give up. I prayed once, it didn't work. Let's go home. God's let me down." That's not what he did. He was patient and waited upon the Lord. One of the things I learned from T.W. Hunt and his material on prayer that has been taught all across the Southern Baptist Convention and what we call prayer life. He says you need to persist in your prayer until God tells you to desist, and you need to be patient and wait upon the Lord, because God's answer is always yes, no, or wait a while. And if you don't hear a no and you don't hear a yes, then the next principle you need to apply is patience and wait until God gives you an answer. So you persist in prayer until God tells you to desist in prayer. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. And isn't that what the scripture says? That those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Elijah patiently waited on God to bring the answer. And he didn't have to wait long. But I think he was willing to wait longer. We need to wait on God and allow Him to do His work. We don't need to hurry God. A day is as 1,000 years in His sight. We live in an instant world. We microwave things instantly. We cook things, warm them up instantly. And we want everything to be done instantly. We used to have Polaroid cameras where you can do it instantly. Well, now you don't have Polaroid cameras anymore, but you have a digital, what do you call it? A little digital doodad that you stick into your computer, and your picture automatically comes up. And if you want a picture on paper, you just print it out from your printer. And it's a lot better than the Polaroids ever used to be. But we want everything to be like that. We have instant pudding. We have instant rice. We have instant oatmeal. And we want people to be instant. We want God to be instant in our prayers. God, I prayed. Give it to me now. Lord, I'm asking for patience. Give it to me now. And sometimes, a part of the lesson God is teaching us, a lesson of faith, is to wait upon Him. To wait upon Him. But keep praying. Be patient. Persist in your prayer. My wife will tell you, I'm probably one of the most impatient people in the world. Just on the way to church tonight, God always gives me these illustrations right when I'm getting up to preach, you know. I'm on the way to church, and I wish I had started a little bit early, but I wanted to see Kentucky beat Wichita State. And I'm there at the traffic light, and the light turns green. And they just sit there. The car right in front of me just sits there. Sits there. Sits there. And at least 2 seconds had to go by. And I was about ready to blow my horn. And then they begin to slowly accelerate. I think they had a battery-powered car, and the battery was almost dead. Slowly accelerate. And I mean, we must have been going 25 miles an hour in a 50-mile speed limit. And I'm sitting there trying to be as patient as I could possibly be. And I said, Lord, I'm preaching on this tonight. What are you trying to teach me? We want things like that. And sometimes God says, a part of the lesson in trusting me, learning the lessons of life I want to teach you, is to be patient and wait for the answer I'm going to give you. And His timing is always perfect. His timing is always perfect. So be patient in your prayer life and wait for God to answer. But when we pray, we need to also pray persistently. This sort of goes along with patience, but be persistent. As I said before, persist until God tells you to desist. He says to His servant in verse 43, he said, go up, look to see if there's any clouds coming out on the horizon, out over the sea. And the servant says, no, there's nothing. He says, well, I want you to go back seven times. I'm going to keep praying, but I want you to go back at least seven times. And each of the seven times, he came back six of those times, and he said, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. And Elijah just kept praying. On the seventh time, he said, I see a cloud coming out of the ocean or out of the sea about the size of a man's hand. It's long ways off, and it just looked like it's about the size of a man's hand. Not going to bring much of a downpour, not much of a rain, let alone a heavy downpour that would water the entire land. But the moment Elijah heard that, he says, you better tell Ahab, he really needs to get going, because rain is coming. See, he was persistent in his prayer life. And we need to continue to persist. I know there are people you prayed for. There are things you've prayed for. And God hasn't given you the answer yet. And you just want to give up. You just want to quit. And I want to tell you, don't quit unless God tells you to quit. Just keep praying until God gives you the answer that you're looking for. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you cannot even imagine, which you don't even know. We need to trust the Lord. We need to expect great things from God. We need to be persistent as we pray and as we talk. We need to be as persistent in our prayer as we would be if we were a salesman on commission. We need to be as persistent in our prayer as Jesus gave the example of the woman and the judge. There's a woman who came before the judge in the New Testament. Jesus tells this story. He says the judge would not give her justice, but because of her persistence. In other words, she just nagged him to death. She just kept going after the judge and said, judge, do the right thing, make the right choice. I'm in the right here. And she was a poor judge, and she was a poor widow, and he wanted to be bribed. He wanted to be compensated for his decision, and she had no money to give him. And so she was just persistent in asking him to do the right thing. And the Bible says, not because he was a righteous judge, but because of the woman's persistence, he handed down the correct judgment. And then Jesus goes on to say, but how much more will our Heavenly Father, who loves us and who is righteous, who wants to do the right thing, will give to us the things that we ask of Him. But we need to be persistent in our prayer. Jesus tells another example of the neighbor who has some friends who come at midnight and they have no bread to feed their friends. And so he goes to the next door neighbor to borrow some bread, and it's late at night. But he knocks and says, I have some friends that have come late at night and I need to borrow some bread. And his neighbor says, listen, my kids are all in bed. I don't want to get out of bed myself. I don't want to bother my family. Just go away. And he just keeps knocking. Please, please, I've got to feed my friends who have come from a long distance. Please let me loan me some bread. Let me borrow some bread from you tonight. And the Bible said, because of his persistence, the neighbor will get out of bed and give his friend, his neighbor, the bread that he asked for. How much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves you and watches over and cares for you, will respond to your persistence in prayer? When we pray, we need to pray persistently. This goes along with faith, but there's another principle. When we pray, we need to pray expectantly. It goes along with faith, believing God is going to answer. But when we pray for rain, I've said this many, many times, when we pray for rain, we ought to carry an umbrella. If you pray for rain and you don't carry an umbrella, you don't carry your raincoat, it says you're not serious about what you're praying for. When you pray for rain, you need to carry the umbrella with you, expecting God to ask, answer, and give you what you have asked for. Expect God to answer. Elijah did that. He said, verse 44, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand coming up from the sea. We'll go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. In just a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. See, Elijah saw nothing more than a little cloud, but he was expecting a heavy shower. And the little cloud was simply recognition that God was about to do something great. And he expected it because he had prayed for it. He had asked it to happen, and God was going to give it to them. And the rain came to the entire nation of Israel because Elijah prayed. There's one other principle. We need to pray expectantly, but we also need to pray specifically. Verse 45 says, in a little while, the sky grew black with clouds, wind, and there was a heavy shower. See, Elijah, I keep wanting to call him Abraham. Elijah didn't pray just a general, Lord, bless the land. Lord, would you allow comfort to come to the people of Israel? Will you allow them to grow fruit again? You know, he prayed very specifically, Lord, let there be rain. For 3.5 years, he prayed specifically, Lord, don't let there be rain. And now at the end of that 3.5 year period, he says, Lord, let there be rain. He prayed for a specific answer, and God gave him an answer to that request that he gave specifically. We need to pray specifically. When we ask God for something, we need to know whether or not God answered. Sometimes our prayers are so generic, so general, we'll never know whether God answered us or not. Lord, bless me and my family. Well, how do you want God to bless you and your family? There's nothing wrong with praying a prayer that way, but it needs to be more specific than that. How do you want God to bless your family? How are you going to know when God blesses your family? When you begin to pray specifically and God begins to answer specifically, that's when your faith will be increased in the God that you're praying to. I don't know if you keep a list of specific prayer requests, but one of the things we do on Wednesday nights when we share our prayer requests, we pray for individuals specifically, and sometimes we pray for them about specific issues in their life. And it's great to hear those reports back of how God has answered specifically in that individual's life. I've shared this before, but I remember when I first became aware of how important it was to pray specifically. I was in college training for the ministry. I had a group of guys that I roomed with. There was four of us, four ministerial students in one college dorm room. Small room, two bunk beds, and every night we would gather together, we'd pray together as roommates. And one of the roommates says, hey, we need to keep a list of the things we ask for and when God answers. And I never thought of even doing that before. I don't know why I hadn't thought about doing that, but nobody ever mentioned it before. And so we started doing that. We started praying for specific things and keeping our request of what we were asking for and then how God answered that request. And I remember very specifically, my mother called me and she said, son, I need you to pray for me because my blood pressure's high and the doctor says if we can't get it down over the next couple of days, they're going to have to put me in the hospital to bring my blood pressure down. It's getting at the point where I could almost have a stroke. And so I shared with my roommates. I said, could you just pray for my mother? In a couple of days, she's going to see the doctor and they're trying to regulate her blood pressure with medication, but if she doesn't get the blood pressure down, then she's going to have to go into the hospital. And so we prayed specifically that my mother's blood pressure would be brought down to a level that she could live with and wouldn't require to go into the hospital. You know, 2 days later, she went to the doctor's office, and the doctor said, "Your blood pressure is normal. Your blood pressure is normal. You don't have to go to the hospital. We just adjust your medication a little bit. You'll be fine." And I remember circling the answer to that request. And I realized for the first time, it led me to a study on prayer and to these principles of prayer that I'm sharing with you tonight. It led me to realize that when we pray, we need to pray specifically, because when we see God answer us specifically, it increases our faith in His ability to work in our hearts and our lives. And over the years, I cannot tell you how many times God has given us answers to prayer in our church and our personal life as we prayed specifically, and it's helped to increase our faith in who God is. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. Elijah was praying for it to rain, and a great rain came. I want to close with this thought. See, what the nation of Israel needed was not just rain. They needed a revival. They needed a renewal of their commitment to God. And I would like to say that this brief expression of rain brought renewal that lasted, but it didn't. It only lasted for a little while. And then they rebelled and turned against God once again, started following the gods of the Canaanites in the land in which they lived. And eventually it led them to be disowned by God entirely. And they were carried away in captivity in 722 B.C. by the Assyrians. And now they're known as the 10 lost tribes of Israel, because they were never brought back to the promised land. Not those tribes. Because of the rebellion against God. You see, God wanted renewal and revival to come, and the rain was simply an expression of the revival that He wanted to fall upon the land. The lack of rain revealed a lack of spiritual life. When the rain fell, it symbolized God's power to bless, to bring revival and renewal to the land. And my biggest fear is in the world in which we live, in the country in which we now live. We've forgotten God. And there's going to come a point in time when God removes His hand of blessing, if He's not already done so, from off our nation. And judgment is going to come. Judgment is going to come. Because we left God out of our lives. And I believe the only hope America has is renewal, revival, repentance. And it's got to start with the people of God in the house of God. It has to start with our prayers. As Elijah prayed for 3.5 years it not rain, and then he prayed for it to rain. My prayer for our country, for our community, is God, send us revival. Send us renewal, where we put You first once again. Where You're the Lord of our life. Where You can allow Your blessings to flow. Where You can allow people to know the goodness that flows from heaven to us. You don't have to look very far to know that God is not blessing as He once did. When I started seminary, I asked some pastors who had been around for a long time. I said, "Can you tell me what the number one problem in Christian life, the number one problem you face in Christian churches and in Christian life today?" And here's what several of those pastors told me. One after the other told me this. They said it's a lack of commitment of God's people. A lack of commitment of God's people. That was a long time ago. I asked those questions. I was sitting around with a group of young guys not too long ago. And I asked them this question. They're pastors. I said, what do you think the number one struggle we face in America today, in our churches today? They said it's a lack of commitment of God's people. A lack of commitment of God's people. You think about it. What did the first century church face? Crucifixion? Persecution? And what do we face? None of those things. And yet it doesn't take much to give up our commitment to Christ and to His church. All it takes is something that's more entertaining to us, more important to us, something we value a whole lot more. And it just takes us away from God's church, God's people, God's plan, God's purpose. Until God's people get serious about the will of God for their life, you can't expect our nation to get serious about the will of God for their life. I still believe we have a lack of commitment from God's people. But I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. But you see it, and I do too. And my prayer is, God, send revival. Send renewal. Let us feel the rain of your Spirit upon us once again, that we may see a modern day Pentecost in our generation, in our community, in this church. And it'll spread like wildfire till Jesus comes. Where they would say, those folks down there seem to have turned the whole community upside down. God can do that. God can do that. God can do that. And He wants to use you to get it done. Lord Jesus, we love You. We praise You. And we know that You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ever ask or think. Help us to be men and women of faith. Help us to be men and women of humility. Help us to pray persistently, patiently, specifically. Give us Your answers so that we may experience Your blessings. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.